So friends, welcome once again to this session on procedure and levy under GST. We are now at chapter 3. So far we have covered chapter 1 and chapter 2. In chapter 1, we had a discussion on the introduction of GST. In chapter 2, we covered extensively the SGST, CGST, IGST and UTGST and various provisions thereunder. Let's now understand the procedure and the levy under the GST aspects. So GST, friends, as we all know by now, is a comprehensive multi-stage destination-based tax. So why destination-based tax? That is the goods supplied at the place, the tax is collected from there, and that is why it is known as destination-based tax. It is levied on every value addition in the supply chain. Taxable event under GST is supply of goods or services. So the moment there is a supply of goods or services, there is a levy of tax. Liability arises at the time of supply, and we will understand as to what is time of supply, because it is relevant from the perspective of levying of the tax, and we will understand in detail as to what is the meaning of time of supply. Governed by the CGST, SGST, UTGST and IGST acts, as we have discussed in the chapter 2, rates are notified on recommendation of GST Council. So GST Council is the, really speaking, is the executive body that manages the and the administers the entire GST framework in this country. And so they are the ones who recommend the rates to be applied. And based on their recommendations, the central government and the state governments would respectively notify the rates in their own states or in the country. Mandatory payment for by registered persons unless exempt. So anyone who is engaged in delivering of goods or supplies or both, which are not falling into the category of exempt goods, he will have to pay tax mandatorily. What is the GST compliance framework? Registration is required on crossing the prescribed turnover limits that we have discussed in our previous discussions. Registered persons must issue tax invoice for supplies. Tax collected from recipient and deposited with the government. Periodic returns to report outward and inward supplies are to be filed. So anyone who is registered on the GST portal, engaged into delivering of the supplies and the services, he will need to file periodic returns for periodic report returns covering the outward and the inward supplies. ITC mechanism allows tax paid on the purchases to be set off. We have discussed in our previous discussions. Entire system technology driven through common portal. And this is the beauty of the GST framework in this country. The entire thing is completely covered and driven by the technology. And there is a minimalist human intervention. As much as the reporting and payment and registration, everything is done online. It is designed to ensure transparency and unified taxation in this country. How to do the registration under the GST, and what are the threshold and aggregate turnover? Let's focus on that now. Registration, as we have discussed earlier as well, is mandatory if aggregate turnover exceeds rupees 20 lakhs. This threshold of 20 lakhs is only rupees 10 lakhs in case of a special category states, which is north eastern states of this country. In certain cases, this threshold can also be rupees 40 lakhs for exclusive supply of goods. Aggregate turnover is computed on pan-India basis. So assuming that the entity or the business or the person who's in the business, his turnover pan-India basis will be taken into account for determining this threshold. Registration under GST. So the turnover, friends, remember, will include taxable, exempt and export supplies, all of them together. It will exclude taxes charged. So the turnover will not include the amount of the tax that the entity would have charged and the inward supplies under the RCM. So if the business has received certain supplies on which the business has paid tax under the RCM basis, those supplies will not be forming part of the turnover. Registration is required in the state from where supply is made, and that is as far as the registration is concerned. Now, what is the procedure for registration? Section 25 of the CGST explains the procedure that has to be followed for the purpose of registration. So first of all, you have to file an application within 30 days of liability. That means within 30 days of you crossing the threshold, as we discussed little while ago, you have to make an application. So the business has to make an application within 30 days of liability. Initial details are submitted for this application in Part A of GST in form REG01. And for the purpose of registration, the PAN, mobile and email verification will be done through the common portal. So it's all done online. Part B is filled with the required supporting documents. So the part one is just to get initiated into the registration process, and the part B will have more details, and as much as it will also need to have certain documents to be filed. Registration is approved within prescribed timelines, once the registration is approved, the entity is given issued a 15-digit GSTIN by the portal. So the entity will receive a register which is GSTIN number, and it is issued. The first two numbers, the first two digits of this GSTIN number will give the state code, then it will have the PAN number of the entity, and then followed by the entity code. So this is how the procedure for the registration will follow under the as per the section 25 for registration on the GST. Persons who are liable and not liable for registration. Every supplier crossing threshold is liable for registration. Casual and non-resident persons must register compulsorily. So for the casual and the non-resident persons, there is no threshold. The moment someone is starting a casual business, the moment and a non-resident person is starting a business here in India, they will have to compulsorily register themselves without bothering whether they have crossed the threshold or they have not crossed the threshold. Reverse charge liability requires mandatory registration. Likewise, input service distributor also requires separate registration. So the ISD, input service distributor, will require a separate registration as a ISD per se. Persons supplying only exempt goods are not liable, and therefore they need not register. So someone who is supplying the exempt category of goods, they are not liable to register, so they need not apply. Agriculturalists are exempt to extent of own produce supply. So agriculturalists, when they supply their own produce, so to the extent of their own produce, supply of such own produce, they will not be liable to register. But if they start supplying produce procured from someone else, from others, in that case, such agriculturalists also will need to register. Of course, in that case, they will not be registering as an agriculturalist. They will be registering as a trader. Voluntary registration, of course, is possible. So in case if someone goes for voluntary registrations, it attract full GST compliance. So, say for example, you have not crossed the threshold of 10 lakhs, 20 lakhs or 40 lakhs, yet you want to register on the GST portal. Of course, you can do that. But in that case, remember, you will have to do the full compliance as applicable under all the acts as part of the GST framework. Compulsory registration and e-commerce provisions. So with regard to the e-commerce operations, there are special provisions. And the first of them is, this: it is compulsory. Anyone who is into the e-commerce business, it is absolutely mandatory for them, compulsory for them to register. So Section 24 of the CGST Act mandates registration irrespective of turnover in case of the e-commerce operators. Suppliers through e-commerce operators must register. So likewise, as the e-commerce has to register on the portal, likewise, the people who are operating through the e-commerce operators, they also have to compulsorily register, notwithstanding that they have not crossed the threshold required for the registration. Threshold exemption not applicable to online sellers. E-commerce operators liable to collect TCS at 1%. So this is the obligation which is there. So all the e-commerce operators who are facilitating the seller buyers and the sellers on their portal, they have to essentially, mandatorily, compulsorily collect 1% TCS from all such buyers and sellers, from all such suppliers from on the portal. So the requirement of 1% TCS applies when operator collects the consideration. Online information and database services are also covered. It ensures better monitoring of digital commerce sector. And I'm sure, friends, you all can understand and appreciate the quantum of digital transactions which are happening in this country are absolutely humongous. So as I was reading in a newspaper just 2 days back, the quantum of digital transactions have been to the extent of 245 billion in terms of number, resulting into 345 lakh crore in terms of amount. So when this is the size of the digital market or the e-commerce market, apparently monitoring of this is very, very important. And that is the reason as to why it is mandatory for the e-commerce operators and also the people who are taking the benefit of the e-commerce to mandatorily register, irrespective whether they have crossed the limit or not crossed the limit. There are certain situations where the registration is deemed, and that is registration under one act deemed under other act. So that means if you register yourself under the IGST, you are deemed to be registered under the remaining three acts also. If you register under one of the SGST acts, so you would be deemed to have been registered automatically with all the other acts. Automatic approval if officer fails to act within the time, and there has been a facility, you know, when the GST was launched in July 2017, migration from the pre-GST regime to GSTIN. So those who were there registered under the pre-GST regime, they were converted to the GSTIN. How can the registration be cancelled? So registration on GST or GST registration can be cancelled, and it can be initiated either by the officer or by the taxpayer. So if the taxpayer feels that he is no longer in the business or he doesn't wish to be in the business, he can decide to deregister. Likewise, if the officer has a view that the taxpayer is not complying and with the requirements of the GST, he also can initiate cancellation of the registration. Applicable for non-filing of returns or violation. So when will officer file, initiate the registration when registered person or the taxpayer is not filing the returns or he is violating the other provisions. Fraudulent registration subject to cancellation in any case, revocation possible upon application and approval. So in case someone has gone for the cancellation and he wants it to be the cancellation to be revoked, he can of course make an application, and upon the approval the cancellation can be revoked. Remember, cancellation will not extinguish the past tax liabilities. So just because someone has got his GST registration cancelled, it does not mean he is free from the past liabilities. Those past liabilities will have to be discharged in any case. Registration of casual and the non-resident taxable persons. As we have discussed in our previous discussions, casual taxpayer and the non-resident taxable persons have a special role, and therefore compliances in respect of them are also different. So the casual taxable person and the non-resident taxable person require to register compulsorily, irrespective of whether they have crossed the limit or they have not crossed the limit. They will need to file the application at least 5 days before commencement of their business. They will file the application in GST REG 09 on the common portal, and they will need to estimate their tax liability, and they will need to deposit that tax liability, and that is mandatory. So in case of the casual tax person and the non-resident taxable person, the liability will need to be paid on estimated basis in advance at the time of the registration itself. Deposit is credited to the electronic cash ledger for the tax payment. Registration for these two categories will be valid for 90 days or for a specified period, whichever is earlier. So in case if the casual person taxpayer or the non-resident taxpayer has specified any particular period which is less than 90 days, in that case the registration will be valid for less than 90 days. The non-taxable person of course has to have a valid passport. Not only the valid passport, but also he has to have the visa to stay in India. Levy of GST under Section 9. GST is levied on all intra-state supplies of goods or services. It excludes alcoholic liquor for human consumption. Tax charged on the value determined as per Section 15. So, Section 15 is the section that explains as to what value is to be considered for the purpose of determination the tax liability. Rates prescribed on recommendation of GST and GST Council that we have discussed already. Tax payable by taxable person making the supply, that is mandatory. Levy and collection mechanism have already been prescribed under the Act. So this is as far as the levy of GST is concerned, which is explained under Section 9 of CGST and the SGST Acts. There are certain special provisions under Section 9, and these are petroleum products taxable from notified date, but that date has not yet been notified, and therefore petroleum products continue to be out of the purview of GST framework. Reverse charge applicable for notified categories, which is number one, legal fees, and number two, the independent directors, and number three, when the procurement is from the unregistered persons. So that's where the reverse charge will be applicable. Recipient liable where supply covered under reverse charge mechanism. Reverse charge mechanism. Supplies from the unregistered supplier may attract RCM. Electronic commerce operator liable in notified services. operator responsible if no physical presence in India. So operator is responsible if there is no physical presence in India. Taxability in case of composite and mixed supplies. Composite supply taxed as principal supply. Principal supply determines applicable GST rate. Mixed supply taxed at highest applicable rate. Classification essential to determine the tax burden. That means the goods and the supplies which are being supplied. They will need to be, there is HSN classification. And that HSN classification will need to be picked up because it is based on the HSN classification, the tax burden is determined. Important for bundled goods and services cases. What is place of supply? Place of supply, friends, is a core concept in case of the GST. And why it is core complex concept in case of GST, because it is based on the place of supply, the taxability would be determined. So the place of supply determines whether supply is intrastate or interstate. Accordingly, it would decide as to whether the levy has to be under the CGST Act, SGST Act or the IGST Act. Based on location of supplier and the recipient, the place of supply is determined. It is critical element along with the time and value of supply. It impacts jurisdiction and revenue allocation because ultimately, which is the place of supply? It is based on the place of supply, the tax jurisdiction and the revenue allocation will be decided. For goods involving movement, place where movement ends. So what is going to be place of supply in case there are goods which are involving movement? That means the goods are moving from one place to another. So in such case, the place of supply is going to be where the movement ends. For the goods without movement, location of goods. So in case there is no movement of the goods, the place of supply will be where the goods are. Special rules for export and import of goods for services based on recipient's registered location. So the place of supply in case of the services is determined based on the recipient's registered location. If multiple establishments, most directly concerned location is considered. So in case if the goods are being delivered at multiple establishments, then the most directly concerned location is considered for the purpose of determining place of supply. Residence considered if no fixed establishment exists. So if there is no fixed establishment, in that case the residence of the registered person will be considered for the purpose of determining place of supply. Now let's look at section 12, which deals with time of supply of goods. So please remember, as we discussed, place of supply is important for the purpose of determining the jurisdiction and the revenue collection. Likewise, time of supply of the goods and the services is also equally important for the purpose of levying of the GST. So tax liability arises at time of supply. So the tax liability will not apply unless and until the supply of goods has taken place. So that is number one. Number two, earlier of invoice date or payment received date is to be taken. So what is the date, what is the time that has to be taken into account for the purpose of determining the time of supply? That is the invoice date or the payment received date, whichever is earlier. Meaning what? Meaning if the payment has been received earlier, invoice is of a later date. In such a case, the payment receipt is going, the date of the payment received is going to be the time of supply. Special rules are prescribed for reverse charge supplies, voucher supply based on issue or redemption date. So voucher supply is will be decided based on the issue date or the redemption date. Interest or penalty taxed on receipt basis. So in case there is an interest or penalty applicable, It will be taxed based on the receipt date. That means the date on which the interest or the penalty is received. Default rule linked to return filing or tax payment date. And as we have to understand the time of supply for the supply of goods, we also need to understand time of supply in respect of the services, which is dealt under Section 13 of the CGSTA Act. So what will be the time of supply? So in case of services, the time of supply will be determined based on earlier of invoice issue or payment receipt, which is same as in case of supply of goods. So meaning what? Meaning normally invoice will be raised first and the payment will be received later. So therefore, the time of supply is going to be the invoice date. But in case, in certain situations, it can happen. That means the supplier has asked for the advance payment. And since the advance payment is received and the invoice is services delivered later and the invoice is issued thereafter, in that case, it is going to be the payment date, payment of the payment receipt date, which is going to be the time of supply. If invoice is delayed, date of service provision is considered for determining time of supply. Reverse charge based on payment or 60 days rules. Associated enterprise rules for foreign supplies cases. So in case of foreign suppliers, which are associated enterprise, there are different rules prescribed under the framework for the purpose of determining time of supply. Voucher timing similar to goods provisions. Additions like interest taxable when received.